Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? I don't know. How's everybody doing this morning? You all right? Well, it's great to see everyone. I don't know. At first, it was a beautiful day. What's it doing out there now? Looks like it's windy. Sun's out. Woohoo! All right. I like that. Well, we have a clip here to show you, and it just brings a little humor into our subject of marriage.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gary Smalley, and I've been helping marriages for years improve, and I've got a couple of friends who have some very unique insights into marriage, and I want you to meet them.
Hey, thank you, Gary. My name is Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
And you know, marriages is something that I think we're all excited about, and something that we think we can bring a lot of wisdom to. Isn't that right, Dr. Dobson?
Smalley?
That's our faux pas. We got some killer marriage tips we think that are really going to knock your socks off.
Yeah.
So let's do some dancing, get this party started, and help marriages out all over the country. Let's do it.
No, let's go ahead and just roll with the tips. No dancing.
When you get the chance, finish your wife's sentences
for her.
It's important that she knows that you know where she's going with a particular thought or sentence.
Yeah, this says, I know you, I love you, and you're predictable, but in a good way.
When on vacation, have fun, but make sure your wife knows exactly how much this thing is costing. Now remember, allowing her to feel guilt can actually be a good thing.
Right you are, because guilt is actually an acronym for good financial stewardship.
No.
It is.
When you're in an argument, it's key to use the time that your spouse is talking to come up with what you want to say next. So it goes like this. You speak, and then while she's speaking, you think, and then you speak again.
And that's how the killer comebacks happen.
Surprise your wife with a weekend trip for you and your buddies. Husbands, doing this will help her see that you're taking care of your needs.
And taking care of your needs will give you the ability to take care of her needs. You know, putting your kids in timeout works for most parents. But putting your spouse in timeout can also be really effective. Putting your spouse in the timeout chair will hopefully help her see things from a different perspective, preferably yours.
And if you get any pushback, I'd let her know that you're having a hard time telling her apart from the children.
That's a classic. Okay.
Whenever your wife tells you about something she wants to buy, respond with the sound effect of a cash register. Here's a little role play for you. Hey, honey, I'm going to go buy some skinny jeans.
Cha-ching.
Hey, honey, I'm going to go get some bread now.
Cha-ching.
You know, guys, those are kind of horrible tips.
Okay.
I guess she didn't like them that much.
I mean, when you think about it, those were killer tips, and I think they'd, like, kill most marriages.
Well, I guess we're at an impasse then.
Awkward.
Hey, Gary, here's an idea, though. To keep the video rolling, let's just do the robot at the end and send this thing off with some fun, if you know what I'm saying. You want to do that with us?
I tell you what, I was, you know, a little bit uncomfortable by this. It's kind of, like, weird.
I would die to have hair like that. You would never recognize Justin and me doing that video, would you? No, anyway. I just thought that might add a little humor to our subject today. And, of course, I do not support anything that they said. And my wife will tell you that I don't. But anyway, well, it is good to see you. And this morning, I bet you each and every one of you, or at least a lot of you, are thinking reverse engineering. What in the world does that have to do with anything, especially relationships? Anybody out there thinking that? Oh, well, cool. Cool, awesome. All right. Well, reverse engineering is a concept by Mark Driscoll, Mark Driscoll introduced in his book called Real Marriage. I don't know if some of you may have read his book called Real Marriage. And this concept is meant to refocus your life and your marriage by living prayerfully and purposefully. The idea is to anticipate life rather than always reacting to life. In other words, to live life intentionally. I mean, after all, marriage is affected by the rest of your life. Amen? What's happening in and around your marriage relationship affects that relationship. And today, you know, I don't know if, surely none of you are like this, but with Jamie and I, it seems like we wake up one day and we rush through the day and we find ourselves falling in bed exhausted. Is anybody else in that? Yeah. And we don't have really any time to process or to even anticipate our day. It seems like our day is already planned for us. Are we the only ones in that line of thought there? I hope not. Because I need to be talking to some of you if that's not the case. Well, our scripture for today in Ecclesiastes and as well as Proverbs can support several points as we consider how to live our life proactively, how to live our life intentionally. And as your experience with each other and your life experience grows together, that's where Ecclesiastes 7:8 comes in. Think about it. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. The patient in spirit are better than the proud in spirit. Think about it. When you first get married, you're all excited. You know, you're in, you believe, and I think we are, but you really believe that you're in love. You've never been so in love as you are right at that moment. And after 5, 10, 20, 40, some of you 60 years together, you look back and you realize that you have so much more experience with one another, to love one another, to be happy together. You have highs and you have lows that bring you closer together in the end. It is a situation where when we get married, and I don't mean to say that when we get married, our marriage is shallow. That's not what I mean is, but after you have so much experience, your marriage just seems to grow this way. Do you all agree with that? The experience that you have together just makes that marriage grow and grow deeper. It's kind of like the deep river runs quiet many times in that regard. Some aspects out of Proverbs that help us out. 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." And the idea is that you need a wise plan to do your work of reverse engineering. You need a wise plan to do your work of reverse engineering. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." In other words, your plan needs to include outside counsel. Has anybody taken those personality surveys? Anybody? Yeah. And every time I've taken one of those, going into ministry, you have to take psychological evaluations. And I always said, after I was done, I had no psychology left, because it seemed like that's all I did going into ministry, so they could understand who I was and I could understand who I was. But anyone ever thought that maybe your spouse or your best friend or someone like that, or even your sibling, should take that test instead of you? Anybody? Because when I answer the test, you know, it depends on the mood of the day. It's either who I would like to be or who I know I should be, right? Am I weird in that sense? Anybody else out there with me? Or do you not want to admit that? All right. So, but you know, if Jamie would answer that, my wife, by the way, if you don't know that, she would know how I promote myself to the world. She would understand who I am to everyone outside of my head. Does that make any sense? So sometimes on those personality surveys, I think maybe she should take it, or, well, very short period of time, I think maybe my boys should take it. But I wouldn't know how they would answer that. But anyway, by the time I would take it and my wife would take it, somewhere in the middle is who I am to this world. And that's what counsel is all about as far as your marriage, your friendship. This could work with your relationship with your children. And I would imagine your grandchildren as well. You need counsel. You need people to help you understand how you promote your marriage and your life to the world, what that looks like from outside. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. In other words, your plan must be biblical and prayerful. Whenever you're thinking about this reverse engineering in your relationship, it needs to be biblical and it needs to be prayerful. And finally, Proverbs 16:9 says, a person's heart plans their way, but the Lord directs their steps. So your plan will change as God leads you. Think about it. I don't know about you all, but whenever I finally believe that I understand where I'm going and the plan that I have for my life, it seems like something changes. Anybody else have that issue? It seems like you just get used to it. You just get good at it maybe. And it's like, oh, isn't this what you wanted me to do, God? And it seems like sometimes God moves because God needs you in a different place. And so we always have to have open hearts to where God is needing us in the world that is around us. So there are three steps to this idea of reverse engineering your life and reverse engineering your marriage. And one is you need to write out your priorities. Write out your priorities. Have you ever thought about that? What are your priorities personally? What are your priorities in life? I mean, if I were thinking through it, my first priority would probably be my relationship with God, right? My Christian life from our perspective. And a second priority, if you're married, would be your spouse, it seems to me. And then if you have children, your job as a parent. Which, by the way, just you understand that if your relationship with God is primary and your relationship with your spouse is next, then most of the time your kids' relationships are going to be just falling right into place there. And sometimes we forget that as parents. The kids move up to number one sometimes, don't they? Because they take a lot of our time. They take a lot of our effort. They take a lot of everything that is us. But what are your priorities? Think about that right now. If you were to make a list at this very moment and you think back over your life for the last 2 weeks, what would you have to write down as your priorities? Your job? Volunteer work? What is your priorities? And then once you do that personally, what are your priorities as a couple? What are those priorities? Do you promote a lifestyle of, you know, what we would call Christianity, of loving God and loving others? As Wesley says, is moving on to perfection. Loving God and loving others. Is that what you show the world in your marriage? Is it obvious in your marriage that, or to the world, that your relationship with your spouse is priority? Is it obvious to the world that your relationship with your children or grandchildren are a priority in your life? What is it that you show to the world? I know one thing I have always said is if you lay your calendar and your checkbook side by side, you'll learn real quick what your priorities are, whether you like those certain priorities or not. It shows you how you're living your life. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. All right. Envision the future. So once you have written down your priorities, envision your future. Think about that. Where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years? What kind of spiritual life do you want to have in 5 or 10 years? What kind of financial life do you want to have in 5, 10, 20 years? What kind of life with your spouse or friend or children do you want to have in that time? Think ahead. Be intentional about your life. Set down plans so that you have goals and know and you can walk towards those goals rather than just kind of going through your day and allowing your day. Well, it reminds me of David Ramsey. He says so many times money controls our life rather than us controlling our money. Think about it. Our calendars many times controls our life, and we do not control our calendar. And I'm preaching to myself on that. Envision your future. Take control of your life. And what does that mean? Now, that does not mean you don't allow God to lead your life. That's not what I mean. But don't allow your calendar to control your life. You control your calendar, which controls your life, which would allow you more time with your Creator. So once you identify these things, what can you do to actually make changes? One thing Jamie and I have noticed is we sit down many times, we're going, oh, something has got to change. And then 2 weeks later, I think back, or we think back, and we go, yeah, we said something has to change, but we haven't actually changed anything to make a change in our life. Anybody else do that? Yeah, you say, oh, something has got to change, God. And 2 weeks or a month later, you're like, well, I have done nothing different, and so I'm getting the same result. Right? So, the third point of this is to actually identify and make changes in your life, in your relationship with your spouse, in your relationship with your kids. And now that I think about it, in your relationship with your parents. Some other things that I want to lift up today is actually from Becky Terabasi. You may know her. And it's called the 3 A's. And I believe this really is effective in re-engineering your relationships. And that is, the first thing is affection. Affection. Like I said, daily life for most of us is a minute-by-minute to-do list where at the end of the day we fall in bed exhausted, right? And so the first A provides an opportunity for you and your spouse to connect with one another, to touch one another. Just briefly, but in a daily situation, initiate that affection, that A that stands for affection. It might be a hug or a pat or a kiss on the way out the door, on the way to work, a tickle or a squeeze of the hand as you get in the car. Take a moment to allow the entire world to see that I love my spouse, and show your spouse that as well through intentional affection. The second thing is affirmation that Becky says. Affirmation. If you practice the 3 A's on a regular basis, you will begin to look forward to sharing the tangible or emotional ways your spouse has encouraged you. It reminds me, I believe it's a quote in our bulletin today. What does it say inside that cover? Remember when you couldn't wait to come home. You remember that? You remember when you couldn't wait to come home? I mean, I remember days when we lived in Altamont, Kansas, and I worked in Miami, Oklahoma as a chemist, and I couldn't drive fast enough to get home to be with Jamie. Now, you know, she's never home anyway. No, just kidding. But seriously, remember the days when you couldn't wait to get home. Think about that. That's what reverse engineering is all about. Coming back to a place, remembering, actually is what it is, remembering why you fell in love. So simply acknowledge your spouse for running an errand or, you know, meeting a need or leaving a love you message or a text. So many times we think nice thoughts, but we never actually carry through and share those thoughts with our spouse or our children or our parents. Right, Mom and Dad? Yeah. And the third is apology. So let's not forget, if I can figure out where I was. The first was what? Affection. What was the second? Affirmation. And then the third is apology. Apology. Now, it's not solving a major conflict. That's not what I'm talking about today. But about healing unintentional hurts. If all of us are honest with each other, we've said or done things probably on a daily basis where we unintentionally hurt our spouse or our children or a friend. And that's what this is about. And every night before you go to bed with your spouse, you need to say, have I done anything to hurt you today? Think about that. That one little question. If you could go to sleep knowing that you have talked about that and you have apologized for that one little thing or two little things that have hurt you today. And your spouse says, I'm really sorry about that. I didn't even realize. Think how well you could sleep. It is attentiveness to those accidental things that we do in our life. Before we close, I have three more things. I know there's a lot of threes here, but it's the three questions, and it's, I think, equally important as the three A's. The three questions help you establish or reestablish your love language. We've talked about love language before in this church. It's the way your spouse, and quite honestly, you or your children, understand your love. If you think about it, you may tell your kids every day that you love them, but if you don't understand their love language, then they may never receive that love. So in other words, let's say a child, your child's love language is a hug. Maybe they physical touch, physical contact, they really feel love in positive, healthy physical contact. The concept is that you could say, honey, I love you, but if you never show that physical touch, if you never hug, they don't receive that as love. You have a love language as well. And unless your spouse knows your love language, you will never think you are loved fully either. Some of you may have heard this before, even if you don't attend this church regularly, your love language. Each of us has love languages. But anyway, the three questions are to your spouse, how does my spouse love me? How do I show love to my spouse? How do I want to be loved? This is how you learn your love language. This is how you learn your spouse's love language. How does my spouse love me? How do I show love to my spouse? And how do I want to be loved? To a certain aspect, that could be a friend, couldn't it? That could be a child or a grandchild. It could be your parent. But as far as marriage, both of you need to answer these questions separately and then compare your answers. It'd be surprising how much you learn from one another. So, it is important to learn your love languages, learn your spouse's love languages. And quite honestly, whenever I've gone through this before, it was interesting to learn my love language. Because at that point, I had never really thought about it before. Love has to be communicated in a way that is understood, whether it's your spouse or your child, your best friend. Your love has to be communicated in a way that they understand. So as we close out this teaching series, my prayer is, and Justin's prayer is, that you have been able to grasp something, whether you're currently married, whether your spouse has passed away, whether you're divorced, maybe in another relationship at this point. My prayer, our prayer is that you've been able to grab something that what I like to say, it's a rubber meets the road type stuff that you can walk out of this church and you can use to make your relationships healthier. Maybe it's a relationship with a workmate. I mean, you spend most of your time, really, if you think about it, you could spend most of your time with a workmate, even more than you do your spouse. And it's so important. Your life is so much happier when you get along with those people. Amen. And so these things are things that you can use in many aspects of your life. And we pray that you've been able to grasp something from this teaching series. And it'll make your life healthier and happier. Amen. Now, I'm excited about something we're doing next week, too. And I want to introduce it a little bit. And that is Letters to the Next President. And this is not meant to be anything political in that aspect, but as a Christian, how would you like, what are some things that are important to you for our presidency? Whoever it is. What I mean, think about it. As Christians, we need to have a place to stand. There's a group in town that says, vote the Bible. Personally, I agree with that sentiment. Vote the Bible. But I have to ask you, what does that mean? What does it mean to vote the Bible? These are the types of things that we'll be looking at. And just, it'll be a deeply thoughtful teaching series. And I'm really excited about it because I'm hoping it'll push me as well. Hope you invite your friends and your family so that we can all kind of figure these things out together. And I am sure, just like there are things that you disagree with me when I preach, I'm sure there'll be things that you disagree with in this situation. Nothing will change in that manner. But I put out an email and a Facebook for your response. I'd love to hear your response about what do you understand our Christian perspective and how that should be related to the president. I think that's an honest question. I think it's a question that maybe we shouldn't be afraid to ask, because we want to be a church that deals with our life in every aspect. And so anyway, think about it. Pray about it. Justin and I want to hear your thoughts so that we can be educated in this church and how we present this teaching series. So, all right, let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We give you thanks and praise for this church, the people that are in it. And we celebrate, Lord. We celebrate how you bless us each and every day. We ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us, God. And as we go from this place, we ask that your presence fill us. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you're with the Thixton family today as they celebrate life today. Lift them up, God. Heal them. Help them begin that journey of healing from this day forward, God. We love you and we have faith in you in Jesus' name. And because of that faith, we understand that all these things will be done. We love you, God. Amen.